There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
I don't know.
All right, we're ready to go.
All right, that's Marcus. I'm Ben. With us as always LA.
We started this?
Yeah, we started it, buddy.
Good.
Who are you?
My name is Hollywood Boulevard, Henry Zabrowski, coming to you straight from the streets of the dirty, dirty, shitty city, Hollywood, California.
Very Woo! Nice. You got an LA update for us, Henry?
Ooh, yeah. Millions of dollars.
Are you
Skyping
rich
in?
Yeah, Henry Zabrowski is Skyping in, so this will be our first experiment with it. I think it should work out perfectly. Henry, I hear you have some LA evil to tell us.
So I'm out here. This is an evil town. This is a haunted place. Everywhere you go, there's like, you know, there's always like a man walking down the street. He's got a Snoopy hat on and he's got like, you know, headphones not connecting to anything. And he's just going like, you got the star quality. And I'm like, bro, I'm trying to get a taco. You know, this right. is this whole fucking town.
Uh-huh.
So recently, there's been a break in what was one of the most famous unsolved crimes in all of true crime history, the Black Dahlia murders.
Oh.
Now, if you want to go through any of these details, I pulled this up for the Black Dahlia. Anybody who's not aware of the brutal crime of the Black Dahlia murders, it's a young woman named Elizabeth Short was basically, there's a lot of conjecture about whether or not she was like a prostitute or she was like just a normal woman.
She was a
but
nice
back in
lady.
The 1940s, there was a really hard decision-making process to tell whether or not a woman was a prostitute or just modern.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know? How is that a difficult process?
People couldn't handle
did she
it.
Take money before sex or did she not take money before sex? That's pretty much
yeah,
the definition
exactly. Was
of it.
She wearing pants?
Well, here's
or
some
she
of the
wearing a finely fitted skirt.
Well, here's some of the gory details. This is how her body was found. Short's body was severed at the waist and completely drained of blood. Her face was slashed at the corners of her mouth, and she had multiple cuts on her thighs and breasts where entire portions of flesh had been removed. Mm. She was washed, and her body was posed with her hands over her head and her legs spread. And here's a fun fact. When you have your mouth slashed from the corner of your mouth on, it's called a Glasgow smile.
Yes,
isn't that
absolutely
something?
Terrifying. You know, also, just imagining a Polish person smiling is yeah. really very sad.
No, wait, that's Scottish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Another barbarian race in the fucking yeah. shitty Europe.
I like that they just completely tore her apart and they're like, well, now clean her up, goddammit.
Yeah.
Put well, she could tub. Be smiling.
Yeah. Why does she look so sad? It looks like we just like cut off half of her body. Make her smile.
She also, this crime was possibly linked to several other things, including another guy called the Cleveland, what's his name? Like the Cleveland Marauder, the Cleveland Torso Murderers, which was another group of murders in which women were just sawed in half, which just takes a lot of energy.
It Ooh. Is. And it was also known as the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run.
That's a fun one.
Ooh. That's going to be the name of my Shakespeare play about my life.
I feel like all the cuts of meat here at this butcher shop are really human-like.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. Tasty.
You know what, though? I love it. I love it.
I'm
I
going back.
And just like, calm down, Martha. You're getting very intense about the meat.
Don't look
so
at me like that, Martha.
No one knew what was going on, basically because it was obviously that she was murdered in another place because when they found her, she was totally drained of blood, horribly mutilated. And now recently, the son of the man who owned the lot that she was found, his name was George Hill Hodell, a Los Angeles doctor. His son has become a very famous true crime author. His name is Steve Hodell. And basically, he's going back through. He's pretty much convinced that his father's the murderer. And he went back with forensic dogs. Because apparently, back in the 1940s, especially in L.A., this was an incredibly crooked town.
Yeah.
Right.
Much like, I mean, everywhere now, in America yeah. in the 1940s.
Yeah. And this guy, Hodell, was already a principal suspect in the investigation, and the detective had even planted a bug in his house to list for incriminating admissions. But before authorities brought charges, Dr. Hodell abandoned his family and relocated to Asia.
Oh.
And did you hear his, like, when we recorded it? It's like one of the most 1940s confessions I've ever heard. He's just like, Suppose that I did kill the Black Dahlia. They couldn't prove it now. They can't talk to my secretary because she's dead.
Cracking walnuts the whole time.
They've basically found a bunch of forensic evidence that's pointing to the fact that it was probably his father.
Okay.
They brought in a bunch of dogs in there because apparently they never did any sort of forensic investigation whatsoever because he was so well connected at a multimillionaire in the 40s. And, you know, basically they totally slandered Elizabeth Short's name, saying she was a prostitute. Essentially, everyone kind of believing she deserved whatever she got. So there was not an extensive investigation.
What's the some of the forensics there that they found out? Or that they used?
I can't really find anything, but they're just saying that there were traces of Short's remains in his basement.
Well, they're bringing...
He died in 1999, and he's been... And the son has been trying to get this going since then. And, I mean, which is also just kind of baffling to me, fact that, like, it took... I don't know why it's taking this long, but apparently now they're saying that it's pretty much definite that he is the fucking killer.
Uh-huh. Well, they're bringing corpse-sniffing dogs into the house. That's their... Like, they're looking for any kind of traces whatsoever. Apparently, these corpse-sniffing dogs can pick something up, you know, 60 years later.
You know how scary that would be if you're like you're an elderly lady, but you're still alive, and the dog just goes up to you and starts sniffing around and then barks? All right.
Around her crotch.
Yeah, this pussy died 40 years ago.
Oh, you like you. I wish all police weren't like this.
Yeah.
And other LA news, there's also there's some belief that there are some missing confession tapes of Charles Manson, and he may be responsible for like 20 more murders.
Whoa.
Who started this
rumor? Up in the numbers.
They are up in the numbers. Who's saying that? Is it just people saying that?
Where's this thing? I just saw this thing. I just had it out. And
I feel like if he had any more murders under his belt, he would have spoken about them at this point. I mean, he's desperate for attention. He loves the camera. That's at least a couple of other interviews to get him out of solitary confinement if he confesses
totally
to 20
true.
Kills.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that is bullshit.
Yeah, same thing
dead
as
lawyer.
BTK.
His dead lawyer, yeah. His family member, told him of other murders in tape.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So does it? So everybody involved with whoever had the proof is dead now. So it doesn't even really matter.
Right.
It's total nonsense.
Well, let's continue on with some more total nonsense, Henry. You sent a great email out, and it was a very
Total nonsense. Hold on, let me close my window. The constant helicopters that hover above LA are fucking.
Is it a drone? Look out! They're blowing people up now. They're blowing up American citizens, Henry. Get out of there.
I think that there is a helicopter on my roof.
Did it land?
I don't know. It's
Are there ATF agents
loud.
Breaking through
it's
your window?
It's loud up here.
Have we cracked something too big?
Oh my God, they're fucking onto me, man.
They're reptilians.
So I've been sitting alone in my room quite a bit. So I've been going out. I haven't seen people. I'm trying to have a good time.
You have not been going out.
LA is a font of dumb shit.
Yeah.
But also some of the best... magic, ghost, murder stuff on the face of the planet because everybody who is here is an absolutely total wacko.
Right.
In terms of, especially if you live out in the desert.
Yeah.
I've discovered, I've been reading a lot about on this fantastic website called ghosttheory.com that I think everyone needs to check out. It does current paranormal news.
Henry, I just have to ask my age old question: were you wearing pants?
Never.
All right. He does.
Was I wearing pants? Was I wearing socks? Is the question.
Were you?
No. As nude as the Irish.
That's good.
It was.
Well, I don't think the Irish are nude on purpose. They just
no.
Can't.
Actually, it's you know, nude fucking Irish. Dumb Irish wear suits to bed.
They go naked to work, but they wear suits to bed?
Oh, yeah. Because if not, they claw at each other like a bunch of monkeys, the dumb Irish.
Uh-huh. All right. So let's get back to this.
Fun.
Yeah.
And so I've been reading a lot about, you know, new theories on the idea of what ghosts are. And I read this fascinating article that it started here, about an experiment that was done in, I believe, Philadelphia. Hold on, I'm just pulling it up again right now because I forgot to lift this up. Where basically a group of scientists and researchers got together and they purposely created a ghost. Now,
okay, was this before or after the circle jerk?
Investigating deeper into this idea, you know, like, are ghosts true personalities? Are they independent of where they're from? Are they independent of the people that they're haunting? And this is pointing towards this idea that ghosts are just manifestations of things going on inside of our brains.
Okay. And then, so this was started by, what's this guy's name? Dr. Wilson Van Dessen?
Yeah, I believe it's the, what is his name? It's some, it's, yeah, it's, no. This is the normal one. This is Dr. Joel Witten.
Joel Witten, and, yes. Ah, this is part of the Toronto Society Psychical Research, huh?
Psychical Research.
Yes.
Okay.
This is what I do here now. I'm just going to get
it's what you do here, too. So don't,
that every yeah. single person I meet thinks that I'm totally insane. But what they don't understand is that I have my finger on the pulse of what's really going on.
I think that they were right the first time when they called you insane.
So basically, so let's start with this first story. Basically, these researchers got together and they, is it possible to create a ghost? So these are mm-hmm. the type of familiar ghost experiences that you could say are that can like constitute familiar hauntings. You know,
some researchers,
a group of teenagers gathered around a Ouija board receives a mysterious messages from a person's spirit who claims to have died 40 years ago. And then, you know, a paranormal society conducts a seance where they contact ghosts that communicates through table wrappings. Right. Which, again, it seemed to be a lot of fakery and shankerism.
Shankerism?
I'm making up words.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It is fine. Yeah, so that was all a bunch of bullshit. So this group of researchers, some researchers are out there trying to...
They're saying, like, so, like, let's purposely create a ghost and see what happens. So the first task was they wanted to create a fictional historical character that they could contact. They created a person named Philip Aylesford, all right?
Yes.
And so what they started doing was they would put together a bio of this guy. And so I'll read you the bio of this character they created. Philip was an aristocratic Englishman living in the middle 1600s at the time of Oliver Cromwell. He had been a supporter of the king and was Catholic. He was married to a beautiful but cold and frigid wife, Dorothea, which is a great name for a woman who doesn't fuck.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Daughter of a neighboring nobleman.
That's the whole bio?
No. One day, when out riding on the boundaries of his estates, which is what aristocrats do, he came across a gypsy encampment. He saw there a beautiful, dark-eyed girl, raven-haired gypsy girl named Margot, and fell instantly in love with her because she smelled like a dog.
What?
Got her back.
Are you making that part up?
To live in the gatehouse near the stables of Diddington Manor.
Diddington.
Diddington.
Interesting.
For some time, he kept his love nest secret, but eventually Dorothea, the woman with the frozen vagina, realizing he was keeping someone else there, found Margot, the dog woman, and accused her of witchcraft and stealing her husband. Philip was too scared of losing his reputation and his possessions to protest at the trial of Margot, and then the dog woman was convicted of witchcraft and burned at the stake.
So the woman with the frozen vagina killed the dog woman out of jealousy for this Philip character.
Yes, and absolutely. And then basically rounded out. And then they say that Philip was stricken with such remorse that he committed suicide in his house.
And
so what they did was...
He cast himself from the battlements in a fit of agony and remorse.
Interesting.
Which, again, only aristocrats can really feel. I mean, which is screaming through yards and yards of wool. But basically, so what they decided to do is they would set up these seances. They began formal sittings, and they would sit and they would fill out the bio of Philip. They would sit and they would talk to Philip and just say, like, you know, say things about Philip's life, repeating all the stuff. Basically, as they were going, it worked. They felt there was a boom, boom, two big raps on the table. And basically, they would say all these crazy sort of poltergeist behavior would show up in the room. But the thing was, is that they would ask a question and it would start speaking through a Ouija board, this entity which did not exist before. And it would have, do physical things in the room. But its limitations were it couldn't imagine anything outside of the bio that they created for it.
Ah, so they gave him a woman with a frozen vagina and a dog face girl. They could have thrown him in a nice pretty gal every now and again.
Absolutely, yeah. You could have put a Jenny McCarthy in there.
Oh, my. Yeah. Hollywood has changed you, my friend.
Ooh.
Jenny McCarthy. By the way, no, I'm just saying just that's for me.
Real quick off subject, have you seen any porn stars? Because I was there for a week. Remember that porn star we saw pumping gas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so hot. Right. Oh,
no, I haven't.
Get out of your house. Put some pants on.
I can't leave this house.
You can't.
I can't leave this house because the helicopters, they follow me to the taco stand.
All right, lunatic.
So if I am reading between the lines here correctly,
yeah.
The only place you've been going since you came to L.A. is the taco stand.
Listen, they know me.
Until
there,
they ban right? you.
They know what I like.
Yeah, I'm sure you go to the taco stand every day at 9 a.m. with your headshot in tow, and you give them your headshot, and then you're
in a briefcase. One headshot in a briefcase. Yeah. And I just walk down the 405 freeway,
yeah.
And I just flash it at people.
You're like the McCarthy of comedians. That's great.
me and Edward, I'm here with Ed a lot, and we go and take up space at restaurants here.
Mm.
I'm sure you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I saw you guys took a nice trip to, what was it, Knott's Berry Farm?
Knott's Berry Farm, yeah.
We did.
Yeah, you guys both look real fat.
I mean, appropriate. Yeah, you guys look perfect at Knott's Berry Farm.
Man, he's gotten big.
I know, hasn't he gotten fat? I was watching The Burn the other day,
he's
and I'm like,
so
I know TV adds
now.
10 pounds, but it looks to add like an entire whale to him. I mean, that is astronomical. Henry,
yeah,
we...
he's out there. He's enjoying himself.
I don't know if he is, but either way, let's get back to this Philip Ghost character.
So basically, I was reading about this, and the climax of the experiment was a seance conducted before a live audience of 50 people. The session was also filmed as part of a television documentary.
This seance was recorded
Philip
before
was
a live
not
studio audience.
And performed above expectations. Besides table rappings, other noises around the room, and making lights blink off and on, the group actually attained a full levitation of the table. It rose only a half inch above the floor, which is seems more of a David Blaine kind of thing, but
sure.
This incredible feat was witnessed by a group and the film crew. Unfortunately, the dim lighting prevented the levitation from being captured on the film.
Oh, interesting.
And here is basically the Toronto Organization of Psychical Research basically, you know, pointed towards like this idea that we create ghosts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the Psychical Research Center was headed up by Dr. ARG Owen, Dr. Arg.
Arg. Arg. His fucking mother named him when she fucking bumped her vagina on the end of a table.
Arg. And a child was born.
But so as I was reading this, I was like, this is really interesting. But it reminded me of this concept that I keep seeing pop up, like reading about like different ghost theories. And one of this is an ancient, like it's a Buddhist principle in an object known as a tulpa.
Mm-hmm. What's the tulpa all about?
A tulpa is a... It's an autonomous consciousness, which also exists in a self-imposed hallucinatory body,
mm-hmm.
which is usually much of your choice. Now, basically, it's just this idea. It's the same exact thing. We're using concentration and using meditation. You conjure a being. Like, you basically put a personality into a space,
uh-huh.
and eventually it materializes to you and then becomes a totally separate entity to you. And can help you memorize things, can help you, like, basically, you know, it remembers every single thing you've ever done with it, every single thing you've ever read with it.
Is it Facebook?
It can be your confidant, it can be your enemy, all this dumb shit.
Okay. And so what are some of the steps to creating a tulpa?
You know, I'm not
Are
totally
you shitting?
Sure. Again, what I love about the internet is that if you look, you receive a whole bunch of dumb advice.
Right.
But this was actually recent. So a guy named Irish created this website called tulpa.info.
Yes, and the heading on it is For Science.
Ah,
for
yes.
Science.
It was recent, too. He just posted this last year.
Okay. New information has come to light.
New information has come to light, dude.
This is the first time you've ever trusted the Irish, though. What's going on, Henry?
This is my problem, is that I just, if only he would just, his if his name had been China, I would have been fine with it.
Right, right. They got all the information.
Exactly. But I mean, at the same time, I can't smell this guy, so I'm fine with him calling himself Irish.
Ah, okay.
You know?
And this guy's a fucking nerd, too. Like an annoying nerd.
You know, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The guy who has the Tulpa website? I thought it'd be Prince Charming.
And there's an extremely long FAQ.
All right. So basically, so this man's making the argument that ghosts are not real. Ghosts are created by man's imagination. How does this make you feel in regards to the ghost conversation? I don't particularly want this to be true because I like the idea of ghosts to be a real, group of folks that live in another world.
But it fits back into more of the idea of how much our consciousness are involved in what goes on in reality. In terms of, like, everything can be explained. And go back into, like, well, then ghosts can totally be scientifically explained because it's all just refractions back of, like, how we deal with the goop that is reality.
Uh-huh.
So I've spent a lot of time high in this room.
Yeah, you know? No. I firmly believe that's true. So how does this make you feel? Have you?
Dude, this is my favorite example of Irish's ultimate nerdiness, because they put it on here. Instead of saying tulpas, they say tulpe, T-U-L-P-A-E.
Man, if you weren't going to read this, I was going to.
Yeah, you want to read it, you read it.
So he's got a gigantic FAQ, and there's a lot of information, a lot of questions.
Can we just say it's well,
questions, but then he keeps saying in the form of a question, just refer to the fact, and then you realize, oh, it's because all it is fucking questions, because it all may be total fucking alone person bullshit.
Yeah, and so the FAQ on general information, the third fucking question is, where are you putting a Latin plural on a Tibetan word?
Nerd.
Yeah. And he's like, there are four main reasons for the Latin plural. And then you got one, because tulpas, tulpi, and whatnot sound kind of awkward. Two, because Tibetan words don't really correct suffixes for plurals. They more or less change the word in some cases.
Knock the milk out of his hands.
Yeah, exactly.
You still want people to know what you're talking about, so they don't think the words are two different things. Three, because on the Wikipedia page about tulpe sort of implies that thought forms are tangible. And by adding the Latin plural suffix, we're sort of separating ourselves from that belief. Four, because Irish and I decided a couple months ago that it sounded coolest.
That whole sentence needs to be finished with the words, "Jeez, Mom."
Jeez, Mom.
Now get out of here.
Great. No, this is so basically what he says is, in order to do this, he has like a little setup, his guide of how he created his tulpa, which I can only imagine looks like a 14-year-old Asian girl.
Okay. Anime?
Because he doesn't describe what his tulpa looks like. I'm going to make my tulpa look like, I was thinking like, just a pair of floating boobs.
No.
That's a nice tulpa, yeah.
Like how big? Like a normal size pair of boobs or like a
four
gigantic?
4 foot across.
4 foot across?
With Gilbert Gottfried's voice.
Wow.
What are you doing, Henry?
That sounds like a terrifying tulpa.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
That's what I'm going for.
Good.
So the very beginning, he's just like, this is why he got into creating his own tulpa. I was bored and found this whole tulpa ordeal a year ago or so and decided I wanted a companion of sorts, so the idea of a tulpa really hit home. So this is also the caveat that he has to put at the very top of this. I decided on the form and the type of tulpa that I wanted and what I'd use a tulpa for. Basically companionship. I found that in this stage, it is best to get rid of ulterior motives and thoughts such as making a tulpa just for sex or making a tulpa just so I can beat the shit out of it. These are bad and counterproductive and usually result in a tulpa that will try to hurt you mentally.
Interesting.
So again,
I mean, all this is that he's just talking about making an imaginary friend.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
all this is.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of you. It's again this idea of self hypnosis,
Henry.
Where if you create it to the point where it can totally like, because you know how they say like people in solitary, you talk to your brain for a period of time and then it begins to talk to you back, much like I have been doing here.
That's what I was going to ask you. How lonely are you right now on a scale of not talking to yourself to talking to yourself?
LA is the equivalent of just being in a hibernation chamber.
Yeah, it's a horrible place.
You could go outside. It is a sprawling, wonderful place full of chicks with huge bosoms.
Yeah, but I can't be boogie boarding all day. I can't be surfing on my way to work.
Don't bring Swayze into this. We're not talking Point Break over here. No one's asking you to go to the ocean. Come on.
It's cold in the ocean. I don't have my swimsuits with me. All I have is my black t-shirts with dead women on them.
Ah, yes. Good. Maybe it's best you stay inside.
Ooh, you got to see my new white zombie t-shirt. It's pretty sweet.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah. And it gets the appropriate reaction here. So what he does is he comes up with this concept of a wonderland, where you create a land for your tulpa to live in. And basically you just fill it with thought, and you say things such as, you tell it its history, you have it speak to you, blah, 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 in your brain. And then he says after a while, he started feeling a funny feeling in the back of his head towards his spine, and then that's when you start showing up in front of you.
Okay.
Really going through this entire thing and reading it, you could replace the word tulpa with Furby and it would make the same exact sense.
So have you tried...
Can my Furby work as an alarm clock?
Again.
I
love it.
Will
yeah.
my
can
Furby
I,
kill
I
me slash
hole
harm
in
me?
My Furby and fuck it? Because that's what this is about.
Will my Furby get jealous?
Furbies do get jealous.
All the things getting jealous, but it's very intense. So it's like, is it true? Is it not true? I don't know. Like, well, I don't know if you're just, because there's also a big debate. It's like, are you just inspiring schizophrenia in yourself?
Yeah, I think it's just imaginary friend time.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Have you got a stinging in the back of your head going into your spine? Have you tried this yet? Have you created a tulpa?
No. What I've been trying to do is I'm trying to set up a thing called term for it. It's called a ghost mirror. It's called a psychomantium.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's a ghost mirror?
And which is you just put a mirror in your room and then you need flickering light and then you look at it until you look at the mirror until you see ghosts.
Man,
what I like most about this thing about you being on Skype is that me and Ben can give each other disapproving looks about you without you seeing.
It's different when I'm in the room. This is hard not being in the room.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fun. It's interesting not to see you so that I can really like fully understand who you are as a person.
because
I feel like
how I come across.
Yeah,
because
you're charming
in humans.
Yeah.
Is how you're hearing me.
Right. Yeah, you're charming in real life. You're cute and squishy and lovable. And then now I just feel like you're sad and lonely and weak.
I'm not. I am filled with tacos. They keep me so nice. I also got some new stuff, from way uptown. I got this, like, again, farm fresh, perfect weed that you can only get here. God.
See, that's a good thing about LA. That's the first nice thing you said.
There's famous examples of this in history. There's a woman named Alexandra David Niel, who was like a fucking woman's revolutionary, traveled the world, like, and basically was one of the first women to ever meet the Dalai Lama, like all this stuff. And she said that she created a tulpa that looked like a gigantic sort of Friar Tuck-like creation.
Oh.
And the problem with it was this big – it looked like me with the fucking wig on, where it's like it was this big, jolly Friar Tuck character.
Right.
And then the problem was is that these entities gain – like they gain sentience and they get to leave you and they're not a part of your personality anymore and you can't control them. And this guy – this creation of hers became evil and became like skinny and hawk-nosed and stuff.
What?
And then it took her 20 years to destroy it with mind bullets.
With mind bullets? Wow. Where do you buy those at? Can you get those at Walmart?
No. You, like, make mind bullets. That was the guy was talking about, too. It's like, if you make your tulpa and you don't like it, well, first of all, you should start thinking about why you even made a tulpa in the first place. But second of all, if you've got to get rid of a negative tulpa, then, you know, you're really going to have to come at it with some pretty severe psychic assault because it's pretty permanently etched into the universe's fucking fabric.
It sounds like an RPG game.
It is an RPG game.
Okay.
It's another thing here, too, where you can create items for your tulpa, which is that is RPG talk.
It is.
Items for your tulpa.
It definitely is. So how do you create a mind bullet?
I mean, it just
seems like a mind
factory. A lot of it's like you just ignore it, and then a lot of it, you literally just go like, go away! Go away!
Okay.
When you're, in a new place,
your parents are having dinner,
alone in your room, and you just hear like, go away in the other room.
Yeah,
I'm certain that that's pretty.
It's so it's just like exorcism, where you just yell a bunch.
And that's a mind bullet.
Yeah.
The whole time your parents
you're stupid tulpa.
Your parents are eating dinner in the dining room very quietly, just wondering if you're ever going to have a girlfriend. What did we create? He's an odd boy.
But that's the other thing too, is like a lot of these dudes also be like, can I make my tulpa like animated, like a squirrel? And it's like all this stuff, and he's just like, yes, you can, but you just have to be aware that, you know, you're going to have to put a lot more energy into making it really fit into normal environment, but yes, you could definitely make an animated tulpa if you wish. Fucking losers.
And it's all definitely in the type of languages, if you wish.
Yeah. If you wish. Yeah. These fucking guys. I love them.
Yeah, they're great. They're great guys. Have you tried to go to the mirror yet and create that? Do you have a mirror in your room right now, or are you going to go purchase one?
No. I mean, I have a little mirror, but it's a little circus. Like, it's a little circus mirrory. I have this room in here. I think it's a little belt because I look a lot fatter in it than I should be.
We've discussed what you have been doing in L.A. Knott's Berry Farm was mentioned, uh-huh. And yeah. I believe 4 trips to the taco stand.
Yes.
And so perhaps
not wearing pants.
Right.
I had bone marrow last night, so it's different.
You had bone marrow.
It was the worst thing you could possibly eat.
Oh, my God. It's like God's mayonnaise. God put his perfect mayonnaise inside our bones.
That's the meanest thing a human God could ever do. Putting mayonnaise inside the bones.
Because that's where it's most delicious. You got to crack the buns.
What animal do you get that out of?
Oh, I think I had it. That was out of cow. But you can get it out of any animal with big, thick bones.
Anything.
You can't really do it with chickens. I think you can suck on chicken bones until they turn into liquid.
Oh, but okay.
That's like a desert thing. That's like a – or like an African thing.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is different here. It's like we choose the biggest, thickest bone, and we snap it in half. And then you just scoop all the stuff out of it, and they put a bunch of chimichurri sauce on it. So it was really spicy.
Well, speaking of food and Los Angeles and ghosts and dead people, Henry, why don't you tell us the story? You're currently – you're living with a roommate who pickles everything.
I have to do this. And
he pickles everything.
We'll
and recently
– we will cover this.
Can you tell the story today, or you want to tell it later?
Later.
You want to tell it later?
All right. Mm-hmm.
We'll save the pickle story. But we're talking about the tulpas, of course, and it could be argued that if this bullshit is real, then like I'm assuming that the roommate is probably in the kitchen right now.
Oh, interesting. Yes. You know, the thing is, Henry, he is definitely more creeped out by you. Always remember that. Yeah, it's just really weird. He just brings his mirror into his bedroom.
I was actually sitting there yesterday. I was thinking about everyone who lives with me must be terrified of me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it. Anyway, get back to the tulpas.
To the tulpas is that if all of this presupposing all if this bullshit has any kind of truth to it whatsoever, then of course it has to do with some sort of energy that you're projecting out into the universe.
Sure.
That a lot of people say that ghosts are merely leftover energies from our brains. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So mm-hmm. therefore, when some people die in particularly fucked up ways, that energy is burst out into the universe and concentrated forms, which become ghosts that haunt people.
Sure,
and I think that's incredibly valid, and I think that in the end it does sort of tie into all of this, and just this idea that we affect our environment by just having consciousness.
No, I see that, but with the energy situation, then that goes against what he's talking about with the talpa, where it's created by yourself. Isn't
but
it when you die, your energy goes out?
That's the purposeful creation of a ghost. That just shows that if it actually can happen, if you can create an autonomous personality with just your own brain, is that you can manipulate reality with just your will.
So he's not arguing another existence of ghosts which just happened naturally.
Yes.
So he thinks that they both exist, but he thinks he can create them as well.
Oh, no, this is all coming from me now.
Oh, this is all you.
This is you. Yeah.
You're the nerd I need to discuss this with. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so a lot of people say that ghosts are negative energies that come from us. Tulpas, I mean, that's a positive energy because you're creating something that you're creating a buddy.
Unless it looks like Friar Tuck.
Unless it looks like, well, that's still positive.
Well, no, because then it loses weight and it gets a beak for a nose. That's what that woman's story was.
I think you should just go ahead and make a little girl, like Japanese girl with long black hair and like no face.
Yeah.
Just so you can get past the scary part.
Yeah.
Just setting the bar low, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So this comes from healinghauntedhouses.com. So let's go over right now negative energetic imprints.
Ooh, let's
hear about it. Let's start with thought form energy, which ties into the tulpas.
Okay.
This is negative.
That's what I do when I make my thought form energy.
Yes.
I just sit alone in the room and go beep 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 beep. Pew, pew, pew.
You're adorable. In situations where a person holds strong, emotionally charged thoughts or even beliefs and hold them for a long period of time, they can create a separate energetic form called a negative thought form energy. This energetic form, which can attach to people and things, is sustained and magnified by the originator's own energy, and besides drawing upon their energetic resources, it can affect the energy field of the person who created the thought form of the energy field of their environment in a negative way. So, What this is saying is that people can create involuntarily negative tulpas.
Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, the people
it's like
can.
Kathy at work, who's always fucking up the schedule. You're doing it.
Yeah. So. So that's
Kathy
it. So that's,
works hard.
So in addition to consciously creating positive thought form energies, people can also create negative thought form energies involuntarily, and that is another explanation of what certain ghosts are, which could also work into poltergeist. Like, say, you notice that a lot of poltergeist activity happens when there are young girls going through puberty or divorces in houses, a lot of strange, just fucking like horrible shit going on. That's when the poltergeist fucking activity happens. So it could be argued that poltergeist could be negative tulpas.
Definitely.
And I'm actually very much into that. I actually think that that's very true. I think it's all accidental. It's his energy doesn't know what to do, and then, you know, it's kind of trapped in this room.
Yep.
Right. So what are some negative energies?
There's also adversarial energies.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, were those negative energies you just went through?
No. I just went through negative energetic thought form energy.
Oh, okay.
This is just negative. This is adversarial energy. These are outside of ourselves.
Okay.
These negative.
So, yeah, these are things. So where do they say this stuff comes from? Is this sort of a more of the idea that it's like interdimensional?
Yeah. This is the idea that all energy comes from one place. They don't call it God, but it is essentially God.
Okay.
That all energies come from one place, and that there's no evil or good energy. It's more of a positive and negative energy, and energy can be manipulated throughout human, by human consciousness.
Okay.
That's how it's manipulated. So adversarial energies, they create adversity in our lives by magnifying or energizing our negative thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and as a result of our actions. Some adversarial energies attach to and amplify the negative feelings of ghosts and earthbound spirits. When people die before their time and stay behind, they as ghosts or spirits can still feel anger, frustration, hate, and sadness, particularly when they realize they are trapped there. So you're just talking about pissed off ghosts that feed upon your energy. It's kind of like the energy that you put out when you're pissed off or something.
Right.
Those spirits absorb that energy, and so therefore they become more fucked up. They become more aggressive. Yes.
Yeah. That's like your friend Mindy trying to explain to you why you're still single.
Right.
Oh, you fucking put it out there. But it's also what the research center was also talking about when they created the Philip entity, is that they actually don't know. That's the big question left behind. It's like, are we actually – there is room for – do we make these things, or do when we give them credence, when we give them attention, do we allow that – do we allow spirits that otherwise exist to take form?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and they also argue that curses are negative thought form energy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every single time, yeah, I just tell an old bitch on the street to go fuck herself. I'm doing. I'm fucking throwing ghosts at her.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible that old bitch will be an old witch, though, and she can curse you. It's very dangerous. It's a risky maneuver, Henry.
But on the other hand,
I guess that's why homeless people always scream about how they're throwing ghosts at people. That's what they're doing.
Mind bullets, my friend.
Yes, but curses are a two-way street, since it happens at the expense of the one who creates the curse, since they have to feed it energetically to keep it alive.
Ah, it's like when you use a special move in a lot of those old video games.
Yes, it hurts you at the same time.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why I wear my safety hat every time I go out and do curses in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Have you ever thought that a homeless man that you passed on the street wasn't not you? I feel like
I just walk around. I have this In-N-Out bag on my head, and I walk around and I tell various store owners how I'm going to throw ghosts at them unless they give me coupons.
Okay, and how many coupons do you currently have?
Two coupons.
Not bad.
Is one from the taco stand?
Absolutely. Because the thing is, what it comes down to is that you can get a lot in this town just by yelling alone. Because they're not really used to people yelling at them.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
If you just walk in a place like, you gotta get it! Gotta get it! And then they normally give you stuff just to have you leave.
Huh. Right. Which is a very, it's a good thing to do. It's a smart man's maneuver.
I have a twofold strategy. I go in and I yell and I berate them. I leave, get my coupons. I leave. Come back in a tuxedo, right?
Uh-huh.
Giving everybody a $5 bill. Tell them, I'm sorry for my rash actions, but I wanted to see if they're good people, but now I'm willing to spend my millions of dollars here at their establishment. The best part is that both of those things are a lie.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well,
I'm a born actor.
You are a born actor. You're a brilliant actor. How have the auditions been going?
It's fine. It's whatever.
Good, good. Anything else on these?
Television is bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is the ultimate demon creator. Television.
And these industry people just don't want to hear about tulpas.
Yeah, they don't want to know the truth.
I mean,
they don't want to hear about the fact that I'm reading this great guide to modern shamanism.
Yeah. What have you learned from that book?
It's just more like it's thought and sight and hearing exercises in order to increase your shamanistic powers. Uh-huh. So it's like one of the exercises was like, pick a color. Notice that color every single time it appears in anywhere you go during the day.
Ah.
It's increase your awareness.
See, I'm
sure. Also, it's just like, it says rub it out wherever you can. That was
rub it out.
See, I'm starting to think that this podcast is unhealthy for Henry.
It is unhealthy.
Because it normalizes behaviors.
No. It's making me a wholer person.
Yeah. I agree. I think that, all right. Well, I guess we can wrap it up. So go out there, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll go more in detail about other stuff, too. And then I'm going to have more and more L.A. true crime for you guys.
Yes. Everyone can't wait to hear about it. So go create your own telpa and, Facebook us and let us know how it went. And
yes, please. If you've created your own telpa, try to draw a picture of it. Mm-hmm. Take a picture of it and send it
on in. That sounds great. All right. Well, that's Marcus. I am Ben. And then over there in L.A., we got...
Magoosalations. Yeah, Hollywood.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Hail me.
Yeah.
Hail yourself.